upstate New York has a bigger share of massive celebrities from our area than we think.
Oh.
Like, we know in Rochester all about Lou Gramm and Philip Seymour Hoffman, right? But there's Rick James in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Tom Cruise from Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if I told you one of the greatest frontmen in rock and roll history has been living in Syracuse for the last 54 years?
Wait, he's been in Syracuse?
In Syracuse,
New York. He's not, like, in the woods.
No, no, no. He's been living in Syracuse, New York for the last 54 years.
So what's he been up to?
Well, I'm going to tell you. And he's been living in Syracuse under an alias because, as far as we all knew, he was dead.
Oh.
That's what one new documentary seems to be out to prove.
Okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF right now.
Yeah.
Log on to the contest page, WCMF.com.
When are we going
to
win?
Enter for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the world's largest 80s party featuring M80s at the Vine Showroom at Del Lago Resort and Casino on March 21st. Must be 21 years of age or older to attend a show at the Vine. Tickets are on sale right now at DelLagoResort.com. July 3rd, 1971. Does that date hold any significance to you?
No.
That is the day that the Doors' Jim Morrison died. But what if I told you, Tom?
Yeah.
That on July 3rd, 1971, nothing really happened.
Because he died in Paris, right?
He died in Paris in a bathtub.
Yeah.
That's the story we got.
Pretty cool.
What if I told you he never died? What if I told you that for the last half century, Jim Morrison has been living an hour away?
What?
Okay. How do they make all that?
Jim Morrison.
But how do they make that all work?
There is a new documentary from Apple TV.
Okay.
Asking you to consider the evidence they're going to lay out.
All right.
The documentary is called Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison.
And he ended up in Syracuse.
The man who made this documentary claims that for the last 50 years, Jim Morrison has been living under an assumed identity in Syracuse, New York.
And just chilling back now, right?
You got it. Now, we do have to do something here because, you know, Jim Morrison is a household name, but there are some who don't understand Jim Morrison's story.
Mm.
For those who don't know why he would have faked his own death, for non-Doors fans, he was, what would you call it, an eclectic soul?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tortured, yeah.
But he also had issues beyond that. One of the biggest at the time of his death, he was facing jail time for an obscenity case in Miami.
Yeah, he whipped it out and played with it.
He was facing
on stage.
Yes. Well,
but
so
that was
they,
a hell of a closer.
So they say there are those at the show who said that never happened.
You thought you were uncomfortable at a Gallagher show.
Why do you think they started using the garbage bags? So Morrison was facing years in prison, and he had been convicted. They were appealing the case. He was out on appeal, and that's when he and his girlfriend split for Paris.
Mm.
And that's where, at least according to the man, he died of a heroin overdose. But the claim in the doc is that he faked his own death to get out of not just the jail time he was facing in the States, but the fame that he had become sick of.
So that rumor about him faking his death started when he died.
There's a reason.
Okay.
Do you know why?
No.
Okay. So he died on the 3rd of July, 1971, like we said. It did not make it to the States, the news, until 6 days later. By that time, he had already been buried.
Yeah.
On top
in
of
Paris.
Yes.
Yeah.
His grave is there. You can go see it. In
but
fact,
they moved it because people were like going there and like doing all kind of weird stuff and leaving stuff. And yeah.
And having sex on his grave.
Oh, yeah.
His girlfriend partner at the time allowed them to bury him without an autopsy, which has caused a whole bunch of controversy. And the rumor is that ain't Jim Morrison in that gravesite.
Okay.
So this documentary pins this story down to one specific man in Syracuse.
Jim Boeheim. And their close relationship.
Bro, it's about the same time. Hey, Kimmy, when did Jim, will you Google when Jim Boeheim got the job as a Syracuse head coach?
Well, he'd been there since he's always been in Syracuse since he was in college.
What if it's like September of 1971, right after Jim Morrison died?
So that was Jim Morrison the whole time?
Oh, my God. Come on, baby, pick my nose. Bello's got to play a zone.
All right.
So in this documentary, they pin down a maintenance worker named Frank.
So they're saying Frank was the guy?
The documentary says that there are plenty of coincidences that point to Frank being Morrison. When did Boeheim get there?
So he was hired in 1969 as a graduate assistant and then got the head coaching job in 1976.
No, it doesn't work out. Right. Okay, so going back to Frank here.
Yeah, Frank the maintenance guy.
This maintenance man is somehow friends with Doors drummer John Densmore. The man has a scar in his face where Morrison had a mole, something you would remove if you were hiding from the public and the cops.
Yeah.
The doc talks about all the time the Doors spent in upstate New York when they were touring. There was one gig where they played in, I believe, Schenectady.
Yeah.
And then Morrison took off to go do a set with an unknown band that no one had ever heard of before and disappeared for a couple of days.
In, like, in the Syracuse area?
Yep, this was in '68. And if you are an amateur rock historian, you are well aware that there have been rumors for decades that Morrison himself planned and faked his own death. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to give the whole thing away in case you want to go watch the documentary.
Right?
Yes, it's on Apple.
I got to watch.
That being said, I will say this doc talks to Frank, the maintenance worker, who the director says is Morrison.
Okay.
So you meet the guy.
Yes, they talk to the man who they say.
Does he even look like him aged?
I mean, I would imagine he'd have to look somewhat like him.
How would you know, though?
Well, I mean, you can kind of see
certain features.
A young face and an old face. But like, so Morrison got super fat when he was in Paris.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like, he gained like 50 pounds because he was just like, it was just like cheese and booze.
Well, no, that's why they couldn't do an autopsy. If they would have cut him open, it would have been Fluffernutter. And I don't know how he got Fluffernutter.
Come on, baby, give me some cheese and booze.
Yeah, because he'd also have to sound like him, right? I mean, to some extent.
Well, I don't know what Jim Morrison sounds like.
He's a very soft-spoken man.
But
there's got to be plenty of audio.
No, but here's the thing. Like, anytime I see historical audio of people just talking, it never sounds like what I think. You know what I mean?
The recording equipment.
But like, I don't know what Jim Morrison sounds like when he's not singing.
Sure.
There wasn't probably that much interview.
Oh, no. You've heard him talk. You've heard him. You know it as soon as you heard him. He's very soft-spoken, normal.
But you know, like when you hear like Hemingway talk?
Well, yeah.
Like, you know, I wrote that book, and it was an exciting time. And I had just eaten some fried potatoes with some lard, and it just came to me, go to Spain, see the bulls run. You know what I mean? They don't sound like you think they sound. So what do you sound like? But you know, when I wrote L.A., she was a lovely girl, a slim figure, and I figured, you know, I'd make her my wife.
It's weird he's got a waspy New England accent, even though he's from Florida.
They all sounded like that, man.
Okay.
Well, nobody was from the West back then.
The phone number is 252, except for John Densmore.
All right, beside him.
Actually, I don't know where he's from. 252 WCMF. Again, a new documentary on Apple TV is claiming that Jim Morrison, the Doors frontman, faked his own death on July 3rd, 1971, moved back to the States under an assumed identity, and has been living in Syracuse for the last 50 years as a man named Frank, a maintenance worker. And they go through the coincidences that lead to this theory. All right, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Tommy, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being there is no way this is true, 10 being this is absolutely true, what are the chances that Morrison has been living in Syracuse for the last 50 years?
Oh, zilch.
But less than none.
Yeah. Okay. Now, here's the thing. I hate these kind of documentaries because I'm going to watch knowing it's
only to be disappointed in the end.
But I have to watch it, though, just to see what this guy looks like.
I am very curious to see what this guy looks like.
Because I love the Doors and I love the whole BS story. It's kind of cool. But again, I'm not going to believe a word of this guy.
Is this just something this guy's just always claimed? Or all of a sudden decided...
You got to watch it. I don't want to give it away because I don't know how much Frank has to do with it.
Okay. Because I'm also thinking, like, no guy, even if this was Jim Morrison's intention in the beginning, like, I'm just going to go hide out for the rest of my life. Nobody's going to know that it's me. Eventually, he would tell somebody, or like it would slip out. Yeah, like it would slip out. Like he would need attention again.
Okay.
Like no man goes out quietly.
But yeah. Think about like, let's say there was like a.
The older he got, and the less attention and fame that he had, I'm guessing like eventually you'd be like, "Yep, I'm the famous guy. I want it back."
Because what happened just naturally? Let's say you know you're at work, and you know back in the day we played the Doors a lot on CMF, right?
Yeah.
And you know, one of your coworkers goes, "That band sucked." You know, they didn't even have a bass. I tell you why we didn't have a bass. Like he like flipped out. Like explaining like the Doors to him. Like it would just slip out.
You'd have to shut up the rest of your life, and no guy with any success is capable of doing
especially
that.
Old men.
So you say it's also a zero that this is legit.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
Yeah. All right,
I kind of want it to.
But she's right. Like think of every old famous guy. They can't shut up.
Okay, walk with me.
Right.
Now, I agree with you guys that the odds that Jim Morrison has been living under an assumed identity in Syracuse, New York for the last 50 years is probably slim. But is it completely impossible?
Like, obviously not.
With all of these stories, there's always a tiny percentage that this is happening.
But to fake your death and to have everybody in on it that nobody ever talked about, because he had to have help doing all that.
But here's the thing. This is the one example, because there are other celebrities that people believe fake their own death. Elvis is number one.
Yeah.
Tupac Shakur was one of them. Mm-hmm. Comedian Andy Kaufman.
Yes.
Like, those are the three big ones. These guys fake their own death, right? Of all of the examples of those three, like Elvis died on the crapper in his home. Yeah. There was a, okay, that's a, one that's impossible. Shakur died in a hospital, so he would have had to pay off everybody in the hospital. Andy Kaufman, cancer, people watched him wither away.
Yeah.
Morrison died in a hotel room.
True.
Apartment, whatever, bathroom, right? He was not around any of his friends' family.
Yeah, I mean, he was isolated,
And there's no autopsy.
Right.
I mean, look, yes, I believe he died as well. But if there was one story where this could have happened,
okay, the circle was so small.
Yes. Yes.
And I was always thinking, like, a guy of his wealth at the time, and, like, why would you pick Syracuse? You're already in Paris. Mm-hmm. Like, you would think you would go to a
cooler place,
a cooler, warm climate, you know, a Greek island or Fiji or someplace where he could just get fat and happy for the rest of his life.
Okay, but here's the thing. You're also, I mean, look, he's an artist. Right?
Yeah.
And you're trying to add logic to a guy like Jim Morrison.
True.
But he's saying like there are cooler places to disappear to.
He could have went to Woodstock.
Understood. But that's Socrates. I think that's another part of the argument is that's where he went back towards is these kinds of places.
But couldn't go to Socrates because Hoover was watching that joint. The Bureau had that place cased out.
If he wanted to live in Woodstock and around that scene, he'd have been found out immediately. Yeah. You got to go to a bigger place.
Because of the Bureau, yeah.
Okay, look.
So like a bigger, small place, though? Because if you want a bigger place, you could go disappear into New York City.
But you're far away from the scene that everyone's hanging out in, all the old hippies that he wants to be around.
He could have went down to the Village.
Yeah.
Okay, but now
hippies are everywhere.
But those are also people that would know him immediately.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Look.
All right.
When you talk, it would also be... You know, as you talk about Elvis, Tupac Shakur, Andy Kaufman, right? Like, Tupac would not have been able to fake his own death. There were cameras all over that hospital, blah, blah,
sure.
blah, blah. But, and now faking your own death as a celebrity is impossible. But back in the day when Morrison did this, July 3rd, 1971.
But you didn't have all the cameras and everything else.
No cameras, no social media. People weren't out looking for a dead Jim Morrison to be walking down the street. It's not like even at that time, if you came across a guy that looked like Jim Morrison.
Yeah, you can pull up a picture and check it out right away.
You would have to have, a physical photo of Jim Morrison on your person to be like, stop right there. It's not out of the question.
Dying to see what this Frank guy looks like.
You guys gonna watch it?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's on Apple, right?
Yeah, Apple TV. Yeah. I'm all in.
And I hate these because I already know it's crap, but I'm gonna watch every second of it.
I mean, what if it's not? Has anybody ever?
What if it just leaves you with like a shadow of a doubt?
Well, they all kind of do. Mm-hmm. So I watched this one. Remember DB Cooper, the guy that hijacked a plane, stole all that money, jumped out at the back of the plane in a parachute, figured he's dead.
Story's crazy if you haven't heard it. You got to go look it up.
It's an amazing story. So I watched a documentary where they claim they found the dude.
They still keep coming up with
information. And you meet the dude, and he's pissed off. Don't bother me. I'm not D.B. Cooper. And, you know, they kind of leave it like, ooh, it could be him, you know, because the age is right. And you know, but I watched that whole thing knowing this ain't D.B. Cooper, man.
How do you know?
Because he's at a strip mall at the airport selling crap.
Yeah, that's what you... I mean, again, like, you want to think that these people, after they escape from society, do these grand old things. But you also see celebrities who don't fake their own death. They just kind of disappear, and they go do random things. Hell, the actor, method actor, My Left Foot, Lincoln.
Oh, yeah,
Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
What's his effing name?
I forgot.
I keep thinking Philip Seymour Hoffman. Kimmy, who's...
Are you talking about Daniel Day-Lewis?
Thank you. Daniel Day-Lewis is arguably the greatest actor of his generation.
He's pretty good.
He only acts in movies to make enough money to go back to his cobbler business.
Yeah.
He builds shoes.
Oh.
That's what he loves to do in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does every day.
Oh. All right.
Okay.
But and that guy, you never see or hear from him until he takes another role to raise more money for his shoemaking.
Now, how much money does it cost to run that goddamn shoe store?
I'm sure he's living pretty comfortably, too.
Seven Academy Awards to keep your shoe store open?
I
feel bad for the guy on Monroe Avenue.
He seems like a guy who takes a lot of time on his shoes.
Right.
But you get what I'm saying? Like, okay. I can name you 1,000 different artists who just decided, I don't want to be a celebrity
anymore.
And
I think that's why I hate those documentaries, because it's not the ending I want.
Okay, but what's the ending you would want from Morrison?
Like to find him like in Fiji.
Okay.
And he's got like this like cult that he started, you know, like island people, and they do weird stuff.
Oh, you mean like Gary Glitter?
No, you see what you do.
Well, that's exactly
what you want.
You go pedophile.
Well, that's what
he
is.
I got
that
French guy, you go pedophile.
No, I mean, look, when they end up isolating themselves in a foreign country, 90% of the time it ends pedophile. That's a statistic.
Now you sound like me.
No, but it's true. It's true.
90% of the time, they's pedophile. Look it up. FBI statistics.
All right, look, here's the thing. With, again, this documentary on Apple TV, it's called, let me pull it up here again, I'm sorry. damn it. Long story short.
Yeah.
It's a documentary about Jim Morrison faking his own death and moving to Syracuse and living under an assumed name as a maintenance man for the last 50 years. There are average people who have faked their own deaths and gone on to live lives for decades with nobody in it.
Yeah, disappear, yeah.
In fact, there are folks that were connected to governments during the Cold War that faked their own death. People that governments were looking for that managed to pull this off, and then decades later, they figured out where they were.
Mm.
I'm just saying.
It could. I agree with you. It could. It's plausible.
Is there a celebrity that's ever pulled this off? Kimmy, can you look?
Well, I guess if they pulled it off, we wouldn't know.
Well, no, I'm saying like later, like Kimmy, I
agree. Where we found out they were still alive?
I agree with your point earlier that like with Elvis, Tupac, Andy Kaufman, or Jim Morrison, there would be a point where they would come out. Because if Jim Morrison just walked out.
I'm tired of being in hiding now.
He would make $100 million right now.
Yeah. So there have been celebrities, not to this point of disappearing, that had secret lives that nobody found out about till they died.
Yeah.
And the famous one that I could think of is Charles Kuralt. He was a big news guy back in the day. He used to do Sundays with Charles Kuralt. He did a show called On the Road.
He did Sundays with Charles Kuralt, even though his name was Charles Kuralt. It was a weird thing they did. What?
No.
No, that was the version they read in
I'm talking about his brother.
That was the version they read in Eastern Europe, Sundays with Charles Kuralt. And then they did the French version, Sundays with Charles de Gaulle. Nobody, these jokes are just for you and me. Everybody else be patient. But I'm sorry, you're talking about Charles de Gaulle.
So he had two families.
Yes.
So he had a secret life. You know, he's on CBS at the time one day, what, 50 million people probably watched the news? And he had another family out west that nobody knew about. And the families didn't realize it. Like he pulled that off by himself. So to your point, yeah, you could pull some moves back in the day.
There's got to be a celebrity that faked their own death and was able to hide for a little while. And the craziest story about, I mean, you know,
what?
Charles Kuralt.
Yeah.
Turns out the whole time he was Charles de Gaulle. He faked his own death, and then he went on the news and had two
families. Kimmy doesn't know who that is.
But she knows who Charles Kuralt is.
She knows who Charles
Kuralt is. If she had the odds of Charles de Gaulle.
Yeah.
Or who's the other one? I'm blanking. Kuralt. Yeah. Which
Charles
one?
Charles Kuralt.
This show sucks so hard.
Yeah.
Right? We had to.
They should call it your mom.
I mean, all the people they're giving me are like the people who have all like their. Like, you know, all conspiracies. The conspiracy theories.
Okay.
About,
like Kennedy.
Michael Jackson.
Was one.
Gotcha. Yeah, Tupac.
The Jackson
Elvis.
One is like funny as hell to me. Like that guy would be able to hide anywhere.
Jimi Hendrix.
I would like to point out, just real quick, this is a shop point, you know, inside the room. Yeah. You heard me have to give a background to some folks listening that are younger to one of the greatest front men in rock and roll history. A man who we still play on this show in Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
And you thought a Charles Kuralt reference was going
to
work.
But think about it. We'd have to go back to that time to find somebody that could pull it off. So any celebrity you could think of would fall under the Kuralt rule.
No, you're right. And then they named that airport after him.
They did?
Yeah. Charles de Gaulle Kuralt Airport.
What, they put it in Paris? Wait, I wonder if that's how they snuck Jim Morrison out.
Oh, my God.
Through Charles de Gaulle Kuralt Airport.
They put him on the Charles de Gaulle Kuralt Express. All right, I'm done. The show sucks. Let's take a break.
All right.
This is a very surprising story for two different reasons with two men facing the same situation.
The hell's going on?
Well, look, the Buffalo Bills, and Kimmy, if I'm wrong, tell me. They've been very risk-averse with players they brought into the franchise.
Mm.
At least what they knew ahead of time, yeah.
Exactly, yes. Like they didn't bring in guys with much controversy. There wasn't guys that were me guys. They were guys that played by the rules. I mean, it's a very McDermott-style thing. But two guys will be missing the early games this season because of a situation.
What the hell happened?
You're hanging out in the break room. It's just Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So the Bills continue their free agency run. But two guys they signed last week ended up in the news for the wrong reasons. The Bills had their first press conference after all the free agent signings to talk about the new guys.
Yeah.
And when general manager Brandon Bean sat down to talk about two of his new players, he dropped a bomb.
What happened?
Both defensive end from the Los Angeles Rams, Michael Hoyt, and new defensive tackle, I believe, from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and if I'm pronouncing this wrong, I'm going to need some time,
all right.
Larry Ogunjobi, are facing six-game suspensions for the violation of the performance-enhancing drug policy of the NFL.
But wouldn't they know that before these guys are already in the NFL?
Great question. So, Brandon Bean shared with the media that when they signed Hoyt, the defensive end from L.A., they were aware that he was facing the suspension.
Okay, so they knew what they were buying.
You got it.
All right.
Ogunjobi, on the other hand, when he signed the deal, the Bills were unaware that he was facing the suspension.
Yeah, but doesn't the league know this? And
the league knows. They tell the players. The players apparently can share.
Wait, they're free
agents at the time, so they don't have to alert the teams.
But the league should say, "Hey, you're looking at this guy. This is what we're looking at."
Did the suspension not officially come down until last week, or was the suspension already there and they just learned about it?
The way that Brandon Bean put it, and if I'm wrong,
because I thought he kind of knew it could be a potential, or they didn't know how long the suspension would be or something.
I was under the impression, based on the way it was described, and if I'm wrong, tell me, 252 WCMF, that Ogunjobi was aware he was facing a 6-game suspension, signed the contract, and then the Bills found out about it after they signed.
So is this like steroid crap or just drugs in general?
The PD would be, yes.
They both claim they took it unknowingly.
Yes,
so whether it was in something that was given to them or they took it and didn't know it was in there.
Steroid's an interesting word because there are lots of things on the banned substance list that wouldn't technically count as a steroid, but that's what everyone thinks of because of baseball. So here's the thing.
All right, what do we got?
Not ideal, first of all. Not ideal.
How much time are they missing?
6 games each.
Yeah.
God damn, man.
Yes, so the first 6 games of the season will be out. So to Kimmy's point, both guys said they took whatever trip to test by accident. For those who don't know, almost every NFL player is on supplements that are paid for outside of the team. They find these folks
and trainers,
things like that. Hoyt, for example, said he had been with a guy for years and years and years. And the first couple of batches of things that he got, he sent to an independent lab to be tested, and they came back clean.
Right.
He said that it's his fault because he was not paying attention and didn't do that with the last couple of things he took, but he trusted the person, and the person let him down. Ogunjobi says the same thing. And here's the thing. That is a perfectly valid excuse to two guys who would have taken something by accident. It's also the first thing you would say if you were caught taking illegal stuff on purpose.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Okay. So I don't know, Kimmy, how to feel about this right now.
I mean, it sucks because these were two guys that you kind of needed to come in and make somewhat of an impact.
And half the season's almost over before they get back.
No, it's got 11 games left.
Well, what does suck, they can participate. And I saw they could participate in all the off-season workouts and training camp, but then after that, they're kind of banned from the team facility for a few weeks.
She's right. So up until opening day, they can be with the Bills. Week of the opening day. They are then banned for a month from the facility.
Yeah.
Right. They are then allowed 2 weeks in to practice to get their bodies ready. Then the 6 games.
So that's what I think is really going to suck because, it's going to be hard enough jumping in mid-season, but when you're not even with the team for a month in the beginning.
All right.
Kind of a bust.
So if we're going to talk best-case scenario, there are two reasons why the Bills went through with these deals despite the suspensions. Now, Hoyt they knew about.
Mm.
According to reports, the Bills could have pulled the deal on Ogunjobi.
Yeah.
They did not.
Yeah.
They chose to sign him anyway.
So they see that much value in this guy that they can lose 6 games plus – getting back in late.
Okay.
So this guy, I guess, was beloved in Pittsburgh, though. He was a man of the year candidate or something like that?
That I didn't see, man.
I thought they were talking about him when they said, he was one of their best team leaders.
Well, if you want to Google it, good luck spelling his last name. All right. So let's talk about best case scenario here. Okay. There are two situations why the Bills are okay with this. One, they are both first-time offenders.
Mm.
So if they were to appeal the suspension, they could see their suspension brought down to 3 or 4 games, which wouldn't hurt you as much.
Get it reduced.
That is a possibility.
Okay.
Second, if they are aware that the players will have to serve 6 games, both of them, that is 6 fewer games of wear and tear on the bodies of these players come playoff time, which has been a massive issue for defensive players in Buffalo the last couple of seasons. So instead of having 17 games where you're all banged up, you will have 11.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
Sure.
But the Bills notoriously come out of the gate a little slow, right?
No.
They're not gangbusters in the first 6-8 games.
They went 3-0 last year.
Yeah, this year. The year before that, you could make that argument, but this last year, I would say that wasn't really the case.
Let's say they come out of the gate slow.
Okay.
You're going to be pissed you don't have these guys. If you struggle in the first couple of games and you don't have these guys, you're going to be pissed, especially if you blow it defensively.
Okay. Do they take up a roster spot?
No. So you can have people from your practice squad. I mean, look, both of these guys, Ogunjobi is a depth piece, right? So he's going to be rotated in. Hoyt the same way. I would argue Hoyt, at least the way they see this, is going to have more of an impact. But you also just signed Joey Bosa.
Oh, I forgot we got him.
So if he stays healthy,
he's cool.
It may not. Okay. I mean, the Bills also love their deep rostered defensive linemen and tackles, right? Like, there's guys that have been in and all, on and off the practice squad for like 4 years that they just keep hanging around. Yeah. So it's also an opportunity to get a look at them. Look, again, what I am saying is best case scenario is definitely a lipstick on a pig situation. I am very confused by all of this.
Yeah, these guys are usually so buttoned up.
I do think that
a bean, you know?
Yeah. Button up bean is what they call him when he's at Charlottesville Airport.
When it comes to Ogunjobi, I did look up, he was a 2024 Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Okay. So, like, for the NFL or just his team?
So he was a Steelers nominee. Okay, I don't know if he won it or not.
Okay.
But, I mean, that, like, I can see why you would take that guy at his word.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you kind of give that guy a little bit more of a pass, maybe, or give him more of a chance.
The only problem there is he signed a one-year deal.
Yeah. Okay.
So...
yeah, you already burned through six games.
Unless a suspension comes.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I mean,
right.
I will say, you put a hell of a lot more pressure on yourself as a football player in this situation.
Yeah.
Because now, I mean, right out of the gate, as soon as you put that uniform on, Bills fans are going to want to see results. You also run the risk of someone younger coming in playing really, really well and taking your spot away.
Oh.
Which, I mean, you know what they say the NFL stands for?
Not for something.
Not for long. Stupid. Oh, it's an L. It's an L word. NFL. Oh, not for long.
I should write that down.
I mean, we've seen guys making way more money than $8 million a year lose their, rotational spots, starting spots, right? So, okay.
All right, Okie Fidoki.
Okie Fidoki.
Do your thing. Earn your money.